morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And this time around, we're going to be talking a little bit about rainfall or the lack of it and why sometimes you don't get the same amount of rain that maybe the airport will get. And you may wonder, okay, throughout the year, the airport's seen maybe 5 inches of rain on a really good year, but you've seen far less or you've seen far more. Well, to talk a little bit more about how maybe you can get involved in getting your rainfall numbers or lack of rainfall recorded actually with the National Weather Service, Mike Hardiman, forecaster with the National Weather Service, is here. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Norma.
Well, you're involved in the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network, which we're going to refer to as CoCoRAS from here on out. It's a volunteer network to get people to record rain and snow and hail or absolutely nothing at all, because no numbers actually do make a difference when it comes to forecasting drought. But we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later in the show. March is your annual recruitment drive for CoCoRAS. But first, give us a brief history of how this all came about.
Well, CoCoRAS started in Colorado at Fort Collins at Colorado State University. Back in 1997, they had a major flash flood in town. And one of the professors there, Dr. Nolan Doskin, ended up doing a rainfall survey of the entire area because it was kind of a classic case where most of the rain fell away from the official reporting station, which was at the airport. And he found that there was a huge difference in rainfall just over the course of a couple of city blocks. You could go from 2 inches of rain to the maximum of 12 inches of rain over a very small distance. So we get the idea, starting with the county that they lived in, of getting people involved to report rain gauge numbers each morning. And it started in the county, then went to the state of Colorado, and then slowly over time went through every state. And now they're in every 50 states and two provinces in Canada, and they came to New Mexico and West Texas in 2005.
And what span does CoCoRAS in our area cover? How many counties or how many cities does that involve?
Well, it involves the whole area. National Weather Service in Santa Teresa is involved with the six counties in southwest New Mexico and also El Paso and Hudspeth County in West Texas.
So it's a large area of land that's really concentrated in our two cities of Las Cruces and El Paso, but it's really needed to have our underlying areas as well, having those data reported as well, correct?
Right. Those are some of the areas of most need, although in the city, the denser network's important too because you get a lot more runoff and a lot more impacts from that rainfall as well. But it's important to get the rural areas involved as well.
And how many active CoCoRAS members do you have in the region? I understand you probably have a few more in Las Cruces than you do right here in El Paso.
In our whole area, we have about 225. About 90 of those in Doniana County, with the majority being in Las Cruces area. In El Paso County, we have between 30 and 35 active observers.
How did you start reaching out to the community via CoCoRAS? I understand you've done a number of presentations around the community.
We've done a couple, and we want to do some more and increase our community outreach. I started with this program back in May or June of last year, and we've had a couple of presentations with the El Paso Cactus and Rock Club a couple of weeks ago, and we've also been inserting portions of the presentation to our spotter training sessions that we have across the area as well.
So who can join this network?
Just about anybody can join the network. Anyone interested in rainfall or interested in the weather.
So individuals and organizations even would like to join in on this. I will be giving the website here at the end of the show. But there are a couple of things that people need to have before they sign up with CoCoRAS. And one of them is sitting right here on the table in front of us, and that is a 4-inch rain gauge. Now, we just want to point out this is not 4 inches tall. It's a pretty good size rain gauge made out of some very substantial plastic. 4 inches is, I think, the diameter you were talking
about. That's also the catch area, which is what's most critical for accurately measuring rainfall. Smaller rain gauges actually tend to have an undercatch because they'll essentially miss the rainfall. The larger the area, the better off you are in general. Although if it's too wide, you actually get evaporation on the funnel and it doesn't all get into the gauge. But 4 inches is like sort of the happy medium, I guess you could say.
And you want all the members who participate in CoCoRAS to have this brain gauge in particular, because it just scientifically makes sense. You want to make sure that everybody has the same type of instrument so that you can collect the numbers that are most accurate.
Right. It also reduces any kind of systematic bias by everybody having the same rain gauge. And the rain gauge itself actually holds a total of 11 inches of rain. So over a year's worth of rainfall, though, of course, you will want to remove the rainfall on a daily basis.
Okay, so you don't want to be collecting it just gradually day after day, right?
No, it'll start turning green on you after a while.
So let's say we have about a week of rainfall during our summer monsoon season, and the rain begins maybe at 5 in the afternoon, and it continues until maybe 5 the following afternoon. Is there a particular time maybe that you recommend that members empty out their rain gauges and then start from scratch? Do they measure from midnight to midnight, or how is that scheduled?
The ideal is to measure sometime in the morning between like 7 and 9 a.m., and if you report during that time frame, you'll actually get on the Kokoroz maps because your numbers will be comparable with everybody else's. But you actually can be an evening or a midnight to midnight observer if you wish. But around here, if you're not a morning person, which I'm not, although I've always aspired to be, around here a lot of times you're going to have zero, and it's okay if you enter your zero at noon, even though it's representative of your 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. rainfall. And when it does rain, you know, that's a few days a year. That'll maybe give you an excuse to wake up early in the morning and smell the fresh rainfall and enter your numbers.
So the other thing that's required of people who are reporting to Kokoroz is internet access. It's not necessarily information that you want to call in. So the two things that you're really going to be needing are that rain gauge and internet access. And I don't know if you want to call it a sort of a one-time fee, but there is a charge for individuals to get the rain gauge, correct?
Right. You order the rain gauge through kokoroz.org. The cost of the rain gauge is about $36. Most of that is shipping. So we're exploring ways of getting that price down by partnering with different groups in the community and also possibly people who could sponsor the gauges and further bring the cost down, especially get it into other areas where we normally don't get a lot of reports. But it is a really high-quality gauge. It's going to last you several years. It's not going to crack in the sun on the first day or things like that. If you want more information, you can email me and we'll have that information later. If the cost is going to be a barrier for you, or if you're interested in sponsoring as well, you can also get in touch with us.
That's great. And people who are interested also in signing up, maybe they think, well, there's probably somebody in my neighborhood who is already signed up in Kokoroz. But tell us who in El Paso, what areas of El Paso are currently covered by Kokoroz, and which are the ones that are sort of in the most need of reporting?
Well, actually, we'll take the reports no matter what. Your next-door neighbor could have a rain gauge to report to Kokoroz. That's perfectly fine because Kokoroz is very flexible with volunteers. If you're going to go away for a couple weeks, that's perfectly fine. We're not looking to establish a 30-year climate record at your house sort of thing. So if you're going to be gone for a while, that's perfectly fine. There's forms on there actually where, let's say you're gone for a couple of days and it rained, you're not sure when it rained, you can report how much you found in your gauge over that span of days. During this time of year, you're going to be reporting a lot of zeros. If that becomes tedious, you can actually go in and it'll come up with a calendar and you just check off all the days you had zero. And then you can just make it a weekly task and get yourself caught up. Because these zeros are important, but it's not important that we get those by 11 a.m. that morning sort of thing. So it's more of it's zeros over time that's what's interesting.
There's no such thing as too much data.
That's right.
That's correct. If your neighbor's gone, then you're suddenly, you know, kind of making up for his absence, that sort of thing. But to actually answer your question, some of the areas we're most in need is in the Upper Valley, also the Lower and Mission Valley areas, and parts of East El Paso and South El Paso.
There is a bit of a training session that's involved. It's a brief one that's online. Once you sign up with Kokoroz, you're not just going to get your rain gauge and just put it out in your yard and just start taking numbers down. There is sort of a brief online training. Can you maybe just go over what's covered in that?
Well, in the training, we cover where to put your gauge, which the most ideal would be in an open area. But in urban and suburban areas, you're going to have to make some concessions. We also talk about how to measure the rainfall, how to report it online. And we also get into snowfall as well, because if you get snowfall, you'll have to melt down the water for the water content of that snow to get the measurement. And also, there's different ways to measure snow depth, and it's usually only an issue a couple of times a year. If you take our local training, we have a lot of images from the region and kind of give it a more of a southwestern perspective versus a national training.
So once everybody's gathered their data and it's submitted to COCORAS and to the National Weather Service, what is done with those numbers?
Numbers are used by a lot of different organizations. At the National Weather Service, in cases of heavy rainfall, we use that to kind of go back and look at what the radar estimated over that time frame, and it allows us to kind of adjust for any biases that the radar estimates might be producing. It also allows us to identify areas where flooding could be a problem, because if, let's say, you get 2 inches of rain on one day, you're going to be a lot more susceptible to flooding in the next 2 or 3 days just because of ground saturation. So it kind of gives us a little bit of situational awareness in that sense. USDA uses the data for determining the drought monitor, and they'll come up with different drought severity indexes. It's a piece of the puzzle, but a very major piece of that puzzle, because oftentimes if they're just going on, you know, our official climate stations, that's not going to give you the whole picture, especially in the summertime where rainfall tends to be very scattered. You can get 2 inches of rain and your neighbor gets hardly anything at all.
Well, we know that a good part of the South is in drought right now, but El Paso, being in the Chihuahuan Desert, doesn't normally receive a whole lot of rainfall, a handful of inches at the most per year. Would you consider El Paso to be in a drought? And if it's not, what numbers would have to be reflected in order for it to be considered to be in a drought?
Well, we are in a long-term or medium-term drought right now. We average about 8.5 inches of rain per year. But here in the desert, it tends to be kind of sink or swim. But for the past, I believe we're in our third or fourth year of below normal precipitation. Our last really good year was 2008. And that's when we had Hurricane Dolly bring a good amount of rainfall to the area in August of that year. However, really what's most critical for this region isn't necessarily how much rain or snow we get, but how much rain or snow falls over south-central Colorado or northern New Mexico, because it's all that snowfall that melts and ends up going down the Rio Grande and into the Elephant Butte Reservoir. And it really would take a couple of good wet winters up in that region and even in our own region to really get us out of the drought. But for sure, summer monsoon with above-normal rainfall would help, especially if you're reliant on irrigation water and you're not going to be getting much of an allotment this year.
If you're interested in becoming associated with COCORAS, the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network, visit COCORAHS.org, COCORAHS.org. I'll also have an email link to Mike Hardiman, our guest today, if you'd like to contact him, especially if you're interested in becoming a sponsor and helping to bring the price down of the rain gauge. If you'd like to collaborate with COCORAS, again, I'll have his email link on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, we want to thank you, Mike Hardiman, forecaster with the National Weather Service in Santa Teresa. It's been great having you here and telling us about COCORAS.
Thank you very much.
I'm Norma Martinez. Thanks so much for listening today.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.